good? Did you guys have a good week? Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I had a very full-on week. But by God's grace, I made it here. I thought I was actually going to fall sick, but I didn't. Thank you, Lord. Because I said, Lord, I have to preach, so I have to be here. Where's my Josh? Come on, Josh. Yeah. I need you. Thank you, Lord. Can we just have a moment? Just soak him in. Thank you. Just close our eyes. Just soak him in. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You're welcome in this place. There is no one like you. Come minister to us, Lord. Come minister to us in your love. For some of you, you've had a good week. For some of you, you may have had a hard week. It's been busy. It's been confusing. It's been tiring. This is a safe place. This is home. Home with the Father. Home with Holy Spirit. Jesus is right next to you. There is no one like him. No one can love you like he can. No one. You may feel far away. Maybe you feel distracted. Jesus is here. And he says, I've got you. I've got you. I've got you in the palm of your hands. The palm of his hands. Thank you, Jesus. Let him just minister to you. Let him just speak to you. Because this is what he wants to do. The message was supposed to be on love today. It's the fourth stone. But he said that this love, it's not like any other kind of love. It is not a fluffy love. It is not a soft love. It's the fear. It's a fierce love. It's the fiercest weapon in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. I believe in, you know, the whole week has come and gone, and we've forgotten to sit down and know how to be still and know that he is God. Because our mind is racing, we have to go from one place to the other, either for work or dropping kids, seeing grandchildren, studying. He just wants to minister. He said, let my love come and just overflow over you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. If he's ministering to you right now, can you just lift up your hands? Just softly, just lift up your hands. If he's ministering to you, if he's speaking to you right now, Holy Spirit is just doing his work. You know, the past few weeks we have gone through three stones. We touched on the blood, we touched on faith, and we did hope. And today we're going to talk about the stone. As I mentioned earlier, it is not a fluffy or soft type of love. We're not talking about eros, which is the romantic love. We're not talking about storge, which is family love. We're not talking about filio, the friendship love. We're talking about the agape love of God. As I said, it's the fiercest weapon in the kingdom. It is actually the motive that drives us all. Without love, my friends, the rest of the stones, all these other stones here, they would crumble. Without love, everything else would crumble. The Hebrew idea of love is called hesed, and it means steadfast love. It means covenant faithfulness. It's an unbreakable commitment to seek the good of another. Can you believe that? This is the love that you seek the good of another, not thinking bad about the other person. But that's what love is. And we saw that in David. We see that in, and it is fulfilled in Jesus. Amen. Church, as I said, this week, like I said, for some of you has been great. For me, it's been a bit of a challenging week. I have to be transparent with you. I was preparing, as I said, to speak about love. I felt tested in it more than ever. I felt empty, even dry, asking myself, how can I preach on love when I don't even feel it? But the Lord reminded me in James 1:3, it speaks about those who teach will be tested. The testing doesn't mean that I'm disqualified to teach. It means that the word is alive. Amen? The word is alive and working in me first. I can't teach you something I do not know. I was reminded that God's love isn't something that I have to manufacture. It's something that He pours into us through the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says that God's love has been poured into us through the Holy Spirit. It's not something you can conjure up. So, if God's love is actually already in us, why do we feel empty? Do we feel empty sometimes? Yes? Nobody's putting up their hands? Just nods? Yep, we do. Slowly fade out. Sorry. Because I can stay in here. I don't want to leave. Thank you, Josh. If we want the music back, I can get it back on. Is it right for us to say that we feel empty? Can anyone answer me? Is it right that we say we feel empty? Is it right to say that? Yeah? Is it right to say that we're empty when God's love already lives in us? Nobody is daring enough to answer this question? Hello? Is it yes or no? Which one? Yes? Who said yes? Yes, 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 in experience, but not in reality. All right? Because reality is this. Ephesians 1, 13 to 14 says that His Spirit dwells in me. So the very nature of God, as we know, is love. Amen? So 1 John 4:16 says, God is love, and whoever abides in Him or in God, God also abides in him. So the Spirit of the living God is love Himself residing in you and me today. So you're telling me the God of the universe who gave Adam dominion over all this earth, over the whole earth, and that same God already had a plan for us, for our salvation through the Lamb that who was slain before the foundations of the world was laid, is actually residing in us. Hello. Good afternoon. Welcome to First Light Church. Do you know that He's residing in you right now? I'm going to say that again. Do you know that He is residing in you right now? Wow, that's good. Because if you don't know that bit, if that's not a yes for you, we can't go on to the second bit. So from a theological standpoint, my friends, we are never empty of His love. True? Never empty of His love. So why do we still feel empty? So one is the reality. And now let's look at the experience. Because the experience, but our experience say that we feel empty when we are spiritually distracted. We can go to the next slide. Thanks, Robert. Spiritually distracted, disconnected from awareness of God, your inner well is cluttered by unconfessed sin or unforgiveness or emotional burdens. We're weary and running on our own strength rather than drawing from His presence. Our love has been blocked by self-protection. I don't know about you guys, but I do that. You know, sometimes when because I don't want to get hurt, so I actually protect myself by staying away. And bitterness can do that to you. Fear can do that to you. Disappointment can do that to you. David in Psalm 42 actually says that, "Oh, why so downcast, oh my soul?" He actually said that. That was his feeling. He felt that. And he actually had God. But he still felt that way. He still felt empty. Revelations 2:4 says that the Ephesians church was active in good works. So the church was active. The church knew how to do, how to serve, how to minister, but had forsaken their first love. Wow. So theologically, the emptiness is never because God's love has left us. It's because we stopped drawing from it and lost sight of it. So love, my friends, is not just a feeling, but it's a choice. And we go to the next paragraph. Next slide. Not that paragraph. The next slide. Love as a choice. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength." I believe, and I wrote that this is a command. It's not a suggestion to us. It's a command can only be obeyed if love is a choice. Colossians 3:14 says, "Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." You know, we have to put on our clothes, right? Every day. We can't walk around, you know, showing our private parts to everybody. So we put on clothes the same way we put on love every day. Love is something you choose to put on daily. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, you know, I always use this scripture whenever I do weddings. You know how we say love is patient, love is kind, love is not self-seeking, it keeps no record of wrongs, love bears all things, hopes all things, love believes all things, yeah? I would always say that, and it's really great for weddings to actually prepare the couples to get married. So young people, if you're not married, I promise you I will use the scripture to prepare you guys. But let me tell you, when I was reading the scripture and I was preparing the scripture and the Lord was showing me this, and he said that this is what we call on daily life. This is how we are to treat everybody. And I said, why, God? And then for some of you know, my husband has ADHD, so he's very different to me. And this scripture is really powerful for me because God is teaching me patience, because I cannot expect him to be like me. I cannot expect anyone to be like me, not just my husband. Love is kind. I'm not always kind, but God is teaching me to be kind, to see him for who he is, to see others for who they are. And what is telling here is that these are deliberate actions. They're not just passing emotions. This is love as a choice. You choose to love. You know, Sarah asked me, she said, how do you, in this earlier in the week, she actually asked me, she said, how do you love when you don't feel love? And I had a pause and I thought to myself, what did I answer? I can't even remember. Do you remember what I said? Oh, I'll get back to you. That's right. So here, I'm getting back to you now. I did, didn't I? So my friend, the answer is, love is not a feeling. It's a choice. It's a choice but if love as a feeling, as you see here, the fruit, not the root, not talking about love as in God is love, is the feeling of love. Feelings can sometimes follow choices, the choice you make. So when you choose to forgive, to serve, or sacrifice, God often renews the affection in your heart. And John 11:35 says that Jesus wept for Lazarus. His compassion and affection were real emotions flowing out of love. Hosea 11:8 says God speaks of his heart being moved for Israel, that love stirring his emotions. So love includes feelings, but it's not based on them. Yeah? So I'm answering. It's not based on them. Feelings make love rich and beautiful, but they can't be the anchor. That's not the anchor of how and why we love. If love were only a feeling, my friends, we could never consistently fight giants with it, because our feelings would rise and fall. True? But if love is a choice empowered by the Holy Spirit, it becomes a weapon. That means you choose love when you're offended. And what do you slay? The giant of bitterness. And you choose love when you're afraid. And what giant do you slay? Fear. And you choose love when you're weary. So what giant do you slay if when you're weary? Selfishness. So love is not just something we feel. It's something we choose. Feelings make love beautiful, as I said earlier, but choice makes it powerful. And when love becomes our motive, it slays giants because it's not rooted in us, in who God is. So I'll give you an example of Jesus in Gethsemane. Jesus himself showed us this. He prayed, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass me. His feelings wanted to escape. Jesus wanted to escape that feeling. I think all of us do sometimes when we're down and we're struggling. We go like, I just want to run away. I just need time out from the children or from anybody, from all the things that we're doing. I just need time out. But Jesus' choice was love. He said, yet not my will, but yours be done. And my friends, I'm glad Jesus made that choice, because with that choice, he defeated the giant of the greatest giant of all, which was sin and death. And if Jesus had waited until he felt like it, I think we will still be lost here today. Don't you think? Love is a choice from Jesus saved all of us today. I'll give you another example in marriage. Sometimes, you know, the feelings, as I said, you know, ebb and flow. Some days love feels warm and other days pretty dry. But when a spouse, you know, keeps serving and forgiving and honoring without the butterflies, that's when actually deep roots grow. It's not when you feel about it, but when you make a decision and a commitment. So if you choose love, God will supply the power, and often the feelings would catch up. That is for a married couple. And I thought I'd try to cover a few people here. So if you're a parent, or a parent that at 2 a.m. your baby is crying, they don't say, let me feel love first, then I'll go feed the baby, right? You don't do that, do you? Do you wait for you to feel love to love your child? No, right? I know when I call my mom, I said, Mom, I'm sick. You know, she will drive all the way to Yanchep and come feed me, make me chicken soup. So maybe she doesn't feel like it. She's tired from her work, but she'll come all the way and do that for me. Thanks, Mom. Sorry, I always have to use my mom as an example. The act itself becomes the expression of love. Love is not proven not when it's easy, but when it costs us something. That's what love is. And for the singles, who are the singles? Two. I like the two. Only Josh and JQ. For the singles, choosing love might look like forgiving a friend, praying for your boss, praying for a friend, serving them when they don't even deserve it. Walking in purity, that's the way you show love. Love as a choice is for every one of us. As you know that we've been doing the story of David and Goliath, and David's love as his motive was shown in 1 Samuel 17:26. He actually said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine and that he should defy the armies of the living God? What David's motive was love. Love for God and love for and honoring his name and his people. It wasn't about self-promotion. It wasn't about proving Saul that he was wrong and to show off that what he can and he can do and his courage. His heart was to burn for his God. For God's name. You know, there was one time someone spoke not very nice about my mom. And I didn't even wait a millisecond to actually call that person and blasted him. I did. Right, Mom? I don't know where to remember. No. Oh, that too. I blasted for my mom. She said, sorry, there was an accident too that I blasted another guy for speaking to my mom so rudely. Sorry. I fight for the people I love. Don't you? Wouldn't you fight for the people you love? If anyone were to try and say anything about your kid, you go like, the mother hand, the tiger start coming out. I go like, don't you say about my kid. Don't you talk about my child. You know, I don't have any children. But anyone who says Wallace's breath stinks, I tell them off. I said, how dare you? Because you're speaking about me. No, I'm just joking. Because the extension of you, right? The same thing. So I did that to my mom. I did that for my mom. not to my mom. You would fight for the people you love. And that was David's motive. That first part, that was his motive. It may have froze the other people that didn't know how to fight because they didn't understand the power and the love of God. So they froze in fear. And what I love about David, that he didn't, like I said, he didn't try to show off. He didn't, it's not about him being right. And you know, one of the things that I can't seem to get out of when I was preparing for this message is that being right versus acting out in love. You know, I thought about this. I said, God, you know, when I just recently had to tell someone, because I know I'm right, but I wanted to do it and act out in love and tell that person that something is off. She's not in the right place. And I really questioned myself. Did I do it because I'm right? Did I do it out of love? Did I do it because of God's love for that person? It was very, very hard for me. And this is what I understand. Being right focuses on winning the argument. Yeah? It is self-justification. It produces pride. It produces distance or shame in the other person. And you know what? I have to admit, I thought I was doing it and saying it the right way. But it came out that she felt, that person felt shame. That wasn't my intention at all. But it came out that way. So my friends, you can be 100% right and not still reflect Jesus' heart. Especially, I have to say, with your spouses. Sometimes you fight and go like, I'm right, so you got to listen to me. This is how you chop the chicken, okay? I'm right. This is how you do it, all right? Example, the Pharisees. They were about the law being... Sorry, the Pharisees were about the law, about the woman that was caught in adultery. What the Pharisees did was, yes, they were right. She was supposed to be stoned to death. But what happened was they had no love. They didn't want to restore her. By the way, I thought I didn't do right, but further on, I want to show you what acting in love actually looks like. It focuses on the person's good and God's glory, not on your ego. So when you are acting in love, your goal is restoration and relationship, even if it costs you your personality. Can you believe it? It produces healing, humility, and connection. Sometimes it means not using your full right to prove something so that love can win the bigger battle. Jesus was right to condemn sin, but he chose to forgive and restore the woman caught in the adultery because love motivated his response. Robert was ahead of me. The key difference, being right, answers the question, what's the truth? The truth is, do not have sex before marriage. The truth could say, love. What else does the truth say? Do not steal. Yeah? Do not lie. That's the truth, right? But acting out of love answers the question, how can I bring life to this truth? How do we bring life? How, when we speak to people, how do we bring life to this truth? When we aim to be right, we can unintentionally throw the stone that actually really would injure somebody. But when we aim to love, we throw truth like a stone that frees us up. Are you still with me? We're not long now. We're going to finish soon. Not yet. So we learn about David. David's motive was love. And we're going to look at Jesus as the fulfillment of that love. Jesus, who stepped onto the battlefield not to defend his own rights, but to rescue his bride, to rescue you and me. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, to lay one's love for one's friends. Philippians 2 says, he was rightfully equal with God, yet emptied himself, becoming a servant and obeyed to the point of death. He chose the cross for us. Jesus did that for us. He didn't need to, but he did. The Holy Spirit is the source of love. One of the things that we can't do, we can't slay the giants, is without the Holy Spirit. You can have love, but if you don't have Holy Spirit, you have nothing, because you'll be doing it in your own strength. Romans 5:5 said, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And we know that in Galatians 5:22, 23 says that love is the first fruit of the Spirit. It is the fountain of all the other fruit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such there is no law. Are you feeling a little dry right now? I'm still feeling a little dry. So how do we move from emptiness to an overflow? You like my 4 hours? I just said, Rena this, Rena that, Rena this, Rena that. I'm glad you're laughing. So that means you're listening. Okay. The 4 R's. The first R, that when we come to a place of emptiness, when we come to this dry place, when we feel that we can't feel God's love, we need to first recognize. We need to recognize that there is a leak. Okay? What does that mean? Ask yourself, what's draining my love? What's draining out of me? Is it unforgiveness? Is it fear? Is it unrealistic expectations? For couples who have been married for so long, how long have you been both married? 14 years. Okay, I'm not going to go 30, 50 years. Okay, I'll go for 14 years here. Sorry, Doug and Say, I'm going to use you both as an example. Sometimes you don't feel love every day, true? Yep, they're nodding, by the way. Okay, if you can't see. Maybe you should know. I was going to ask you to stand up. Do you feel exhausted sometimes with each other? Yes. One nodded, one said yes. Do you get distracted? Yes. With work, with ministry, with children, your own stuff. Yeah? So there is a leak somewhere. So first is recognizing that, yeah? The second R, so they are the couple that our guinea pig today, okay, that we're going to use. It says, return to the source. John 15:4-5 says, abide in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So what are you going to do to return to the source? You're not Doug. You're not the husband. No. This husband and wife. Don't interrupt. What are you going to do to return to the source? Return to the word, say? You like soaking. Returning to the source. Abide in me. Can I also say, return to the first love that He has first brought you together, to be kind, to be gentle, endures all things, bears all things, record no wrongs. Amen. Yes. And the third R, everybody say, what is the third R? Receive. Romans 5:5 said His love, I can do that to them, okay? It's all right. Receive again. This is Romans 5:5 said His love is poured out to you, is poured into our hearts. It's not just a one-time thing. It's a present continuous. If you look it up, it's not just a one-time event. It's a continual place that you have to go to. So that means you always have to stay open. But we forget because of the distractions in life, because of the discouragement. Maybe, Doug, you didn't know how to do the dishes right. I'm not sure. But maybe say I didn't park the car correctly. I don't know. Spot on. Oh. I'm prophetic too. Hallelujah. I don't know. But you know what? Okay, don't fight when you go home. Go back. Recognize, return to the source and receive again. Stay open. Stay open. And the last one, four, is release it. Release it. You know, a lot of times we go like, how do we overcome? We stay there. We don't even move on from there. It says release it. It said love grows when it's expressed. Go tell someone. Go and serve. Go and ask for forgiveness. Go bless somebody. But in this case, telling each other, serving each other, forgiving each other. Can you both look into your eyes right now? Yes. And blessing each other. All right, the worship team can come up. Come on. See, it's a very short message today. Did you learn something? It doesn't feel very deep. It doesn't feel like, oh, where are we going from here? What are we doing? What is love? Honestly, it is actually one of the hardest messages I feel I have to prepare. God, you are love. You are this incredible God, and you reside in us. So why do we feel empty? I kept going back there. But God said that, hey, you need to remember the covenant that I made with you. You need to remember the faith, the things that I have done for you. Go back to that place again. And then He says, remember that, you know what? You can hope, put your hope in Me because I will never disappoint you. And He said, but you can't do all these things without love. You can't do this without love. David's love is for God's name and His people. Jesus' love carried Him to the cross. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, poured out God's love into us so we can actually choose it daily. Remember, it's a choice. Love is not just a feeling. It's a Spirit-empowered choice. And when love is our motive, the giants will fall. And how do we do it? We recognize. Don't just keep going. Don't just keep going to the point that you actually had forgotten. Oh my goodness, I've forgotten about my first love. You've been carrying bitterness. You've been carrying unforgiveness in your heart. And maybe there is sins in your life that have not been confessed. And it has weighed you down. It has tired you out to the point you don't feel anything. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against, I've been repeating this for many times, but against principalities, what? Powers and rulers of darkness and even in the heavenly realms. And we overcome, okay, I did this last week. I forgot to bring my chocolate today, sorry. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You know, friends, when God makes that change in you, when He does that change, that transformation in you, it's not for us to keep quiet about it. Because you don't overcome like that. You need to go tell somebody, hey, you know what my God did? He healed me. He lifted you up. He saved me from a car accident. He blesses you with riches untold. It's not something for us to keep quiet about. Because when we silence, the enemy actually comes and say, and that's where discouragement comes in. This is where distraction comes in. Deception comes in. Division comes in. But can I encourage you? To go back to the 4 R's. Is recognize what is going on within you. Is returning back to Jesus. Receive again what He has poured into you, that love, and release it. I'm going to invite all of you to stand, please. For husband and wife, you please stand next to your wife or your husband. I want you to hold hands or... And the ones who are single, I want you to look for another brother to a brother and a sister to a sister, if you can. You can join the ladies. There's another brother here that is alone. If anybody wants to come with, you got Robert. I want you to just take this time. I want you to just bless that person. I want you to pray for that person next to you. Just take this moment. Just really say that, hey, put your hand on that person's shoulder if they're comfortable and say, Holy Spirit, just say, Holy Spirit, pour your love into them. Pour your love into them. Just release your love. You don't have to say long prayers. Just bless them. Husband and wife, bless each other. Release God's love to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.